The book of Mark, St. Mark, I won't hold you long tonight. The book of St. Mark, I'm reading from the fifth chapter, starting with the first words of the first verse, Mark chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship immediately, there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. When I studied this from the Greek positives, it stated that this man had once been a very influential man, very wealthy. What could have happened that drove him to this place of demonic bondage? Only God knows. But here is a man that once stood powerful in the city in which he lived. Here is a man that was strong, that was wealthy, that was influential. And now he is demented, mentally deranged. It's Satan's business to drive you from your senses. Every single unsaved person in this world is not as mentally apt as they ought to be. And that may sound a little bit strong, but it's not, because their master is Satan, and he's the god of darkness. You that are saved, and most of you are, your master is God, and he's the god of light. In him there is no darkness. I believe that every single person that gets saved, comes to Jesus, automatically becomes about 50 or 75% more intelligent. I believe that. I know that. Somebody said, I know some Christians that's not doing too well in that department. I do too, but think what they'd be if they wasn't saved. But it is Satan's business to steal, to kill, to destroy. He'll take your senses. He'll steal your mind. Bible tells us God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Now notice the terminology. Man, I want you to know, demons worship the Lord too. They don't have any choice. I'm sure there are some demons around here tonight. If they stay long enough, they're going to have to worship Jesus. I'm telling the truth. Praise God! You know, the devil will trap us into and let me see how to terminalize this. He'll try to trap us into an area of trying to extol his greatness, Satan. We will go away and say we couldn't do much tonight because demon spirits were there. They bound up the service. There is no devil that can bind up the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. There is no demon that can bind up Jesus Christ. None at all. I can tell this is going to be a good one. Demons worship God. I've got news for you. The one you are serving is majestic. The one you are serving is almighty. The one you are serving is august. The one you're serving is so great that our finite minds cannot begin to comprehend it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Notice the terminology again. We got Christians running all over the world with faces that long. What's wrong with you? Oh, the devil's fighting me. That, you got it backwards. He's not supposed to torment you. It's your business to torment him. Every morning I'm going to use some southern vernacular, you slang your feet over the side of the bed. The devils ought to say, oh Lord, they're up and running loose again. Glory to God. Don't you think, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get up and face another day, bound out of that bed with a smile on your face, squaring your shoulders, holding your head up high, and say, this is another day the Lord hath made, and I won't let the world get me down. I won't let the devil get me down. I won't let the sickness get me down. I will rejoice therein and be glad. Some of you say you don't have to get that excited about it. Let me tell you, brother. Did you look on the news when the gold was going up? And sophisticated, smart, brilliant, intelligent financiers were going, ooh! Did you see it, dum-dum? And that ain't nothing. That ain't nothing. Our stock started going up 6,000 years ago. And it's been going up ever since. It never has a slump. Praise God. No wonder we rejoice and we're happy. You see, we Pentecostals are doing our best to get like the Presbyterians used to be. And they're getting like we used to be. All right now, Lord. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. You can be sure he can. I want to use for subject tonight the Christian and demon spirits. I don't preach about this often. But the Bible tells us not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. Know your enemy. Know his ways. Don't major on him. You as a child of God have absolutely no reason to fear Satan. Period. 1 John 4:4, he that is within you is greater. I love that term. Greater. Greater. Praise God. Greater than he that's within the world. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, we come before you delightfully so. Help us tonight that we not meander in ways that would not be edifying to thy body, the church. But help us to say only that which the Holy Spirit would desire, that we may strengthen and help thy children, that we may strengthen the church. Thou art the head, and thou hast given power unto the body, and our feet is upon the enemy. We ask that you would give us clarity of thought and deliverance and help these people to grasp and understand thy word, and may it take lodging in their spirit and shoot forth roots and grow and not be dislodged by Satan. And I'll ask it all in Jesus' name, and everyone said amen and amen. I have great empathy and sympathy for the child of God that goes through oppression. This is the way of victory, but victory must follow conflict. You cannot have victory until you have battle. Satan is a foe that has sharpened and honed his skills for hundreds of centuries. He's a master at technique, at subterfuge, camouflage. He is the father of the lie. Everything he has, his kingdom, is based on the lie. Many governments in the world today operate on a lie. Communism is built on a lie. That's the reason it gives no freedom to its people. His power is real, but yet it is a pseudo-power. By that I mean he borrows, steals power from individuals because within himself he has no power. You say, how do you know that? Because the Word tells us that when Jesus rose from the dead, all power was given unto him. Not a little of it, not some of it, not most all of it, but all power, he said, is given unto me. So the only power that Satan has is the power that the Christian allows him to have. It's the power that the sinner allows him to have. It's the power that individuals allow him to have. Sometimes this power is given unknowing. Sad to say, many Christians attend churches that specialize in style shows on Sunday morning. They attend a church because it has a pretty architectural design. They attend a church because their mama, their daddy, their grandpapa, their grandmama attended there. They receive basically little for their soul. They really learn little about the Word of God. And so if you would attend a church like that, don't. Just say it. I've said it. Don't go there. Find one where the glory is real. Heaven is real. Find one where the preacher weeps over souls and shouts with the redeemed. Find one where sick bodies are healed. Believers are filled with the Holy Ghost. Find one where people raise their hands and praise God. Folk wouldn't get a crick in their neck staring at them. Find one where if someone danced in the Spirit, it would not be out of ordinary and folk keel over from shock. Find one where the gifts of the Spirit are in operation. Find one where the fruit of the Spirit is in operation. And go there. It's the most important thing in your life. Go, go, go. Pastor stood before a congregation and said, Sunday night, Sunday morning, how many of you good people would set up an hour with a sick friend? Hands went up everywhere. He said, all right, be here Wednesday night. The Wednesday night prayer meeting is sick. Your mind is the gateway to your spirit. Your mind is the gateway to your spirit. This is the greatest age of mental bombardment the world has ever known. We have asked Dr. Richard Dobbins to write an article in The Evangelist. If you don't get it every month, you're missing something good. He'll be writing an article every month. God's given him a ministry in this area. The mind is the gateway to the spirit. That's the reason that Satan is using every avenue to bombard your mind. Have you noticed how bad television has become? It is so bad. It is so stupid. It is so utterly, absolutely ridiculous. My little granddaughter, her mentality, 2 years old, is above it. But all of this is engineered by darkness. It's engineered by the powers of darkness to bombard your mind. Mental oppression, mental suppression, mental depression has become one of the great sicknesses of the hour. One out of every four Americans are, to one degree or the other, mentally ill. Think of that. Some of you sitting here tonight, you have no joy, you have no peace. You live in a state of constant anxiety because of mental oppression. It shows on your countenance. There are lines in your face that are there because of worry. You do not sleep well at night. I do not make fun or ridicule or lampoon this because the problem is real. It is a real problem engineered by darkness. Does this mean that I'm not saved? No, no, no. It has nothing to do with your salvation. It just means that you are not enjoying your rightful position in Christ as you should. Over 20 years ago, I faced a similar problem. I've faced many since. But this one was a concentrated attack by Satan to destroy me. I remember it like it happened yesterday. I'm not a man given to fantasy. I want to be certain that everything is according to the word before I grasp it. You understand what I mean? Because the spirit world works in two categories, the world of darkness, the world of light. I've seen few visions. I've had few dreams that I really felt were actually from God. But I remember this time as I have never experienced anything like it in my life. I did not know what was happening to me. I look back now and it's like the words on the page of a book, easy to read, but then it was a mystery. I did not understand. I could not see. I did not know what was happening. I seemed to be falling into a chasm. I seemed to be falling into a ravine, a pit of darkness with no bottom to it. I went for 72 hours and never closed my eyes in sleep. I would get down to pray and it seemed like that the very heavens were brass. I could not pray. I remember Francis and I were living in a little tiny house trailer. We had not been married very long. And I suppose this was about 26 years ago. I would lay my Bible on that couch and I would pore over its pages and I could not read it. I could not grasp it. Satan was constantly jabbing me. He was constantly pushing me. He was constantly telling me God did not love me anymore. Constantly telling me that I had sinned away my day of grace. This is a favorite method of Satan's. Constantly telling me you have blasphemed the Holy Ghost. God is out of patience with you. You are so bad that he does not want you anymore. If there is an old spirit that grips you to where you shrink and you can't face people and you think I'm no good, I'm rotten, I'm no good, that is a satanic, devilish spirit, not of God. Likewise, if you are huffy and think you are God's gift to man, that is likewise a satanic spirit. This mental oppression, I did not know. I was just starting to preach. Satan was trying to eclipse my ministry at the very beginning. I remember tossing and tumbling one night, getting up out of the bed and walking outside on the little blacktop road beside our little trailer, trying to walk myself into exhaustion, saying, God, do not cast me off. Please do not forsake me. Of course, this was a prayer that was really foolish because God has never cast anyone off. I went back inside I had a vision that I will never forget. I cannot tell you whether I was asleep or awake. I found myself in a house that I had never been before. I found myself in a room in that house that was strange to me. I remember standing there in this room. It was utterly barren. There was nothing in it that had spiritual significance. There was no window, only one door, slightly ajar, emitting just enough light for me to see the barrenness of the situation. I stood there. There was a morbid fear that gripped my heart. I didn't know what it was, but I thought, God, I must leave. I must get out of this place. My legs seemed to be filled with lead weights. My arms seemed to be so heavy I could barely lift them. I turned to try to walk toward the door, and all of a sudden that door opened all the way. And there stood the most hideous man-beast that your mind could ever contemplate. He stood there seemingly 10 feet tall in that high doorway. He had the body of a bear, the face of a man. I remember that hulking bear-like body that stood there. I remember the face of that man. And never in my life have I seen such a countenance. It was the epitome of all that was evil. It was the epitome of all that was dark. It seemed every ribald rot of hellish darkness was written upon that countenance. His eyes seemed to literally speak of cesspools of iniquity. It seemed like that all rape, that all murder, that all homosexuality, that all jealousy, that all envy, that all malice, that all sin was wrapped up in those eyes. He said nothing, but he started to advance upon me, as if to say, this mighty hawk towering over me, and I seem so puny in compare. As if to say, I have you now. I have you now. This was the spirit of darkness that was trying to destroy my soul. It is a demon spirit that is trying to hinder you. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, against principalities, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I reached around, I slumped to the floor. My legs would not hold me. I reached around with my hand, trying to find some weapon to defend myself, but there was nothing. God was showing me the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. This is a warfare, you hear me? It is a warfare. Every morning of every day, it is a warfare. And it's for keeps. Your soul is at stake. Your victory is at stake. Your joy is at stake. By God's help and grace, I want to try to tell you tonight how to have victory. I tried to find something, but there was nothing. And I lay there with that thing towering over me, with that sneer on his face, as if to say, I have you now. And I said it, even though I had no strength, even though it seemed but a mere whisper, even though I screamed to the top of my lungs, but you could not hear me, hardly 6 inches away from my lips. I said it in the name of Jesus. And when I said that thing screamed like I had hit him in the head with the biggest baseball bat in the country. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mean, it was barely a whisper, but he screamed, and I hear that scream even tonight. And I hear the words of those demon spirits as they said, hast thou come to torment us before the time? He held his head and staggered back. And praise God, I said it the second time. In my vision, I was standing on my feet. You see, you grow. You grow when you use his weapons that he's given you. You grow. Hallelujah. Woo! He lifts you up. You remember that old song, "Lift me up above the shadows. Lift me up and let me stand." I said it the second time, in the name of Jesus. And he screamed again and slumped down on the floor. And now in my vision, instead of him towering over me, I was standing over him. Glory to God. Glory to God. Standing over him. I opened my mouth and it seemed like Niagara Falls was hooked to it. It seemed like every public address system in the world was plugged into it. I said it the third time and it seemed like my voice was as the sound of many waters in the name of Jesus. When I said it that third time, that thing was swept out the door like a mighty wind swept him out. And I awakened in that little bed, in that little mobile home, with my hands in the air praising God, speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of Almighty God gave utterance. Free, 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 free. Glory. Let me tell you something, saints. When you use that name, Jesus, Satan does not see some tiny Tim Jesus tiptoeing through the tulips. Satan does not see some penny waist Jesus. Satan does not see some limp wrist Jesus. Are you listening to me? Satan does not see some little flower child Jesus. Satan does not see some little weak emaciated Jesus. But he sees the Jesus that John saw when he looked like his hair was white as the frost of many winters. And he stood there in all of his power, and his eyes were like flames of fire, and his feet were like burnished brass. And when he spoke, it was like the world shook. And John fell at his feet like he was a dead man. Woo! I don't blame him, brother. That's the Jesus that the devil sees when you say, in Jesus' name. Glory to God! Can't you see it, saints? Can't you see it, saints? Can't you see it, saints? Thank God the team you're on is not last. It's not out of the running, but it's number one in the pennant race. And I've got news for you. It's already fixed. Jesus knocked the ball out of the park 2,000 years ago.
All right, now. That's my introduction. Where do demon spirits come from? I do not know. There is some hint in the Word of God, but barely a hint. And where the Word is silent, it is best that we remain silent also. But God did not create them this way. That much I do know. God has never created anything of this nature. He's the creator of those and that which is good and noble and wholesome and holy and pure and true. He's our Heavenly Father. And as Fred sung it, he watches over me. But this world is populated by spirits. They help their master, Satan. Now, many times in the New Testament, especially the four Gospels, it will mention devils, plural, but there's no such thing really in the Greek as devils. It's demons. There's one devil. One devil. He is Satan, Lucifer, the fallen one. He's the master of darkness, and under him are fallen angels and his minions of demon spirits. They are disembodied. You cannot see them unless God, as he did me, would open your eyes spiritually to see them. They have but one purpose, and that is to steal, to kill, to destroy. That's what Jesus said in St. John 10:10. So we do not know where they come from. I do know this. As I mentioned briefly a moment ago, listen closely to me. Every unsaved person in this world is more or less controlled by demon spirits. No, I did not say they are demon-possessed. I said demon-controlled. There is a difference. That's the reason unsaved people do the things they do. That's the reason you can walk downtown on your beautiful city here and you can see men that are sitting there. They have drank themselves into insensibility, into oblivion. They are nothing but a hulking vegetable. That's the reason that men are shoving rusty needles into their veins. Because they are more or less controlled by demon spirits. Some of you in this audience tonight, you don't know why your unsaved husband or wife or son or daughter does the things they do. It's because that demon spirits are pushing, they're promoting, they're shoving, they're binding, they're hurting, they're hindering. They more or less control all unsaved people. Every single person I've ever seen in my life that was demon possessed is more or less mentally deranged. I've never seen a person that was demon possessed, but that person was crazy. They may be totally insane, they may be partially insane, but they are mentally ill. I'm not meaning that all mentally sick people are demon-possessed, because the mind can become sick just like the body can, and demons have nothing to do with it. But don't think everything that's done is because a person is demon-possessed. They may be mightily demon-influenced. Some are demon-possessed. I want to say this, and I want you to listen to me carefully. I will hurt some feelings now. I cannot help it. Some of you, when I get through now, will wish you had your offering back. Satan is the most religious being in this world or the world of darkness. I want to say that again. Satan is the most religious being that you have ever known. He knows this book from cover to cover. He does not understand it. He does not comprehend it. And he never uses it correctly. He always twists it, perverts it. And Satan is the cause of all unscriptural doctrine. Are you listening to me? We have got entire mighty religions today that are built on satanic instigated doctrine. That's strong, but it's a fact. I love them. I love the people. I don't love the doctrine, but I love the people. But what they teach and believe is satanic. It doesn't mean they are satanic, but it means what they teach and believe is satanic. You've even got saved godly people, and I'm going to shock some of you, that are teaching some things that are scriptural and some things that aren't scriptural. Do you mean to say, Brother Swaggart, they're unsaved? No, no, no. How can they do that and be saved? Well, they can be right in the heart and wrong in the head. You got a lot of people like that. And it's Satan's business if he can get you to understand this incorrectly. If he can get you to twist it, if he can get you to the place that you do not grasp it, he has just reached another step on his road to destroying you, to weakening you, hindering you. For instance, the doctrine of ultimate reconciliation. What in the world is that? That means that eventually all people that's ever lived will be reconciled to God. Even the devil will be reconciled to God. Even demon spirits will be reconciled to God. That is a doctrine of devils. It's taught in many circles. It's not new. There are no new doctrines. It is a doctrine of devils. The doctrine of no eternal punishment, no hell. That's a doctrine of demons. behind multiple thousands of pulpits, there are preachers that are saying that hell does not exist. That is a doctrine of demons. The doctrine of the brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God, as beautiful as it sounds, is a doctrine of demons. God is not the Father of all. He is only the Father of those that have accepted His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, ye are, speaking to those that were wicked, ye are of your father the devil. All men are not brothers. Only those that are bought by the blood, washed in Calvary's cleansing flow, are my brothers and sisters in the Lord. I'm not talking about church denomination. I don't care about that. That's totally insignificant. I doubt God has ever heard of the Baptists. I doubt He's ever heard of Assembly of God. I doubt He's ever heard of the Catholic. When He pulls His books out in glory, it is not Baptist, Methodist, Church of God, Nazarene, Presbyterian, but it is washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, that's good preaching. Oh, we got some people are so churchy. That is demon inspired. You got some folk, if you even mention, I get letters all the time. I'll just mention a church name, sometimes even mention it in a very good way. They'll write, you understand? You know what I'm talking about? We're the best.
No, you ain't.
Nobody can get more than we can get. You ain't got nothing, so just hold on. There's always more to get. There's always more to get. There's always more to get. And after you get what you think is all, you hadn't seen anything yet. No eye hath not seen, neither ear heard, what God hath prepared for them that love Him. Let me go a little further. The doctrine of sinning a little bit every day. Ooh-wee, man. How many saints of God run all over the world? What are you? I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm a sinner saved by grace. No, no. Don't let that word come out of your mouth. You say, well, that's beautiful and it sounds it, but it's not, it's not, it's not. It makes angels cringe. When you got saved, you were a sinner. And when you were saved by grace. But you are no longer a sinner. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah! I am the righteousness of God. I don't care what I look like or what I feel like. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm the righteousness of God. And oh, this is going to make the devil mad. But when he looks at Jimmy Swaggart, he doesn't see my failures, and God knows I have so many of them. He doesn't see my weaknesses, and God knows I've got so many. He doesn't see my frailties, and God knows I have so many. But when He looks at me, He's looking through the blood of Jesus, and He says He is perfect. Woo-wee. That's good. You see, I've been romping on a Baptist, now I'm romping on a Pentecostal. Because Pentecostals are notorious for wanting to earn your salvation. Earn it. What do you mean earn it? Well, if you go to church and you don't do that, you feel like I'm backslid. Slightest thing that's wrong with you, run, get in a prayer line somewhere. Stick out your head for somebody to anoint you. And you charismatics are the worst at it.
Some of you have been anointed so much that we had all the oil poked on you, we could run our cars for 6 months.
What are you saying, preacher?
I'm saying you're saved whether you feel like it or not. I'm saying you're saved whether you look like it or not. I'm saying Jesus has bought you with his precious blood and he's washed you with his precious blood. I don't care. Hold your head up high and raise your hands and say, I'm a child of the King, washed in the blood. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life and I'm going through.
Too many Pentecostals specialize in backsliding. You ought to try front sliding. It's funner. What's wrong with you, Sister Smith?
Oh, I don't know. Nobody loves me, and I don't blame them.
Lady wrote me a letter the other day. She blistered me. Ooh, she blistered me. What she called me, honey, it takes a real old-fashioned Holy Ghost saint to come up with that type of terminology. I mean, with a kind little knot behind her head.
All you preach is victory, victory, victory. And I have nothing but trouble, trouble, trouble. Beside that, she said, my husband drinks. I thought I don't blame him.
God's going to have a lot of men stand before him that took a little nip. He's going to say, not guilty. If I had to live with what you live with. A couple of you sitting there and your bottom lip is... All right, now, let's get back to our setting. As a child of God, you don't have to sin. Well, you got to, you got to. Well, if you do, then the power of God's not as great as the power of darkness. It's that simple. Do you believe in sinless perfection, Brother Swagger?
Yeah.
I don't believe in absolute perfection. If they make one, I hadn't seen them. I'll explain it. Absolute perfection means absolute. None of us are that way, honey. We're in the process of being made. He's working on us. He's helping us. We got a long way to go. Man, we got so far to go, we're just getting started. He's doing some chipping and some polishing and some rubbing, and sometimes he'll quit patting and get the old Holy Ghost steel wool out. You understand? Got a long way to go. My little granddaughter's 2 years, 5 months old, and she is perfect according to her age. You understand? She does what little 2-year-old, 5-month girls do. She squeals. That's what little 2-year, 5-month old girls do. She sees her papa coming and she giggles. Little girls do that. If some of you did that, I'd think you's nuts. We are perfect according to the light we have and according to our development and maturity. Not absolute. We'll be that when we get to glory. Let me tag on one more here. I don't want to say it, but I got to. The doctrine of unconditional eternal security. It's not of God. You mean to say, Brother Swagger, that you don't believe in eternal security? Oh, yes, I believe in it. I believe in it totally, absolutely, and completely, but not unconditional eternal security. There is a vast difference. If you think you can get saved and then turn your back on God and live like hell, live like demons, live like the devil, do everything in the world other than God and still go straight to heaven on a flower, but you're wrong. That's a lie of darkness. But I also believe and teach, if you want to be a Christian, I don't care how weak you are, I don't care who you are, I don't care how many times you fall down, if you fall down 1,000 times, don't stay down. Just look up, hold up your hand, he'll pick you up, he'll dust you off, and he'll set you back on that highway of glory straight from the throne rooms of heaven. Praise the Lord. Baptists teach you can't, we teach you won't. You caught it, sir. The rest are chewing on it. I don't like preachers that teach you're going to backslide. I like them to teach you're not going to backslide. Praise God, we're not looking back. He that looketh back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Look forward. Look forward. Look forward. Praise the Lord. All right, now, what time is it? 20 minutes after 8 o'clock. In Baton Rouge. Can a Christian, loving Jesus, saved, be at the same time demon-possessed? No. No. No, 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 no! Hallelujah! You say, well, Brother Swaggart, now, hey, Dr. So-and-so, I don't care what Dr. So-and-so taught. I've had many Christians come up to me through the years, would you pray for me, Brother Swaggart? What do you need? Well, cast the devil out of me. They may have needed it, but they lived in a perpetual state of constant fear. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. You are not demon-possessed as a child of God. You cannot be demon-possessed. You are kept by the blood, and Satan does not want anything to do with the blood of Jesus. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things pass away and all things become new. And some of you may be holding to it. Well, I believe you can. Well, go ahead. Satan will get you in a state of constant consternation. Everything that happens, you'll think I'm demon-possessed. I'm demon-possessed. That's a lie. You are not. But as a child of God, you can be demon-influenced. You can be demon-influenced. Some of you in this building right tonight, I'm talking about a Christian home. Your home is not what it ought to be. There is consternation there. There's bickering there. There is worry, anxiety there. There is turmoil there because the husband or the wife lives in a state of jealousy. If the wife even greets the postman with a smile, the husband goes into a rage of jealousy. We laugh about it, but it's causing untold problem. Many homes. What is that? Is that demon? No, it's demon influence. Satan constantly probes, trying to find a weakness in your life. Trying to find a weakness, trying to find a crack in your armor. He constantly pushes, probes. That's the reason as a Christian. Now listen to me. I'm about to give you some old-fashioned, down-to-earth Bible teaching. Every day, stay in this book. Every day, stay in it. Get alone with God. Read these pages. Some of you, the Bible's on your coffee table and it's never opened. You're playing with disaster. Get up at 4 o'clock in the morning if you have to do it and read the book about a half an hour. Get on your face before God every day and have it out with God. Ask God's help. Ask God's direction. Pray. That's what I'm talking about, saints. I don't have time. If you don't have time, you're busy and you ought to be. Because Satan is constantly probing for a place of weakness. Some of you in this audience tonight, the things and the thoughts that are in your heart, they cause you to cringe in fear, and I say it with love. But there are some here, the horrid thoughts of homosexuality or lesbianism grip you. My God, you fight it, and the devil of darkness has tried to tell you you're demon-possessed. Satan is trying to drag you down. Others of you here, you're fighting a battle of lust. It's deep, it's dark within inside you, but it's like a flame that burns and it threatens to engulf you. You love God, you go to church, but when you look at a woman, sir, not all of you, but some few here, you mentally undress her with your eyes. I do not say that in sarcasm or fault finding or ridicule. What is it? It's darkness. It's Satan trying to drag you down. He's not playing tiddlywinks. He's playing for keeps. He steals. He kills. He destroys. Others of you here, envy. Others of you here, bitterness. In your church, you've amounted to nothing for the last 5 years because somebody there said something about you and you grew angry at them. And you've now just soured in bitterness. Satanic spirits looking and probing for a weakness found a spot. And they're pushing and they're probbing. And if you say, well, Brother Swagger, do you mean I never worry about being possessed? If you turn your back on God, you can be demon possessed. Jesus said, the demon spirit goeth out of a man, seeketh rest, and findeth none, and findeth seven other spirits worse than he, and bringeth them back, and inhabiteth that man, and the latter state of that man is worse than the first. Backsliders are in terrible shape. There's not a backslider that's once known God that knows one moment of peace. They're living in a state of constant agony, and you'll never know it until you come home to Jesus. You'll never know peace. How can I have victory and you can have it? I'll say this hurriedly. Number one, as a child of God, realize who you are. You are not the devil's garbage dump. You are special. Praise God. I mean, you are what's holding this thing together. You getting what I'm talking about? I mean, when you walk down the street, are you listening to me, saints? You're not just one of the poor little old people in this world. You are the light of the world. You're the light of the world. My cousin Jerry Lee Lewis, God bless his heart and help him. He's staggering in a blindness of darkness. He told my wife the other day, he said, you know, I meet governors and senators and actors and actresses, and I have no problem, but I get around Jimmy and I can't talk. I don't know what to say. You know what it is? It's because not of who I am, but what I am in Christ Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Realize your position in Christ. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. I want to say this. If you are the only Christian in your family, you might say, oh, God, you've missed so hard. I know it is, but you're their only hope. You are their only hope. One man came to his pastor. Well, the pastor came to the preacher, got saved. He said, you know, he was crying. He said, my little sister was the only one saved, and she prayed for me. We all thought she was a nut. But come to find out that nut was their hope. Praise God. I want to tell you something else. I believe that every single Christian in this world is going to see every single one of your loved ones brought to Jesus Christ before it's too late. I believe that. You're a child of God. I don't mean this in some unholy, sumptuous, holier-than-thou attitude. No, 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 no. In Jesus, you're a mighty power.
In Jesus, you're strong. You know what the strength of this United States is? It's not United States Steel. It's not IBM. It's not Xerox. It's not its $1.4 trillion economy. But it's men of God like this that pastor Holy Ghost-filled churches that preach the word of Almighty God. That is the strength of the United States of America. Realize who you are. Romans 8. Romans 8 says, ye are an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus. Let me hurry. Secondly, Ephesians 6 and 11, to defeat Satan says, put it on, saints, the whole armor of God. Helmet of salvation, that's the mind. Dum-dum. Put it on. Put on a helmet. Your loins gird about with truth. If you believe a lie, you're in trouble. Your loins gird about with truth. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Praise God. And the shield of faith in front of you. The hell with your left hand. The sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the only offensive weapon that God gives us, which is the Word of God. That's all you need. All the rest are defensive weapons. Put on God's clothes. Armor of God. Some of you come to church, stagger in the front door after 18 hours of ball games, dragging your shield behind you. You left your sword in the car. And you sit down. Plop. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Same wretch like me. Once.
Praise the Lord.
I found it's a church, Jimmy. We found it's a church.
Between me and her, none of your business. I ain't sitting down there no more. And a preacher gets up to preach. I don't mean him, you. And you wonder why he doesn't preach good. Have you ever tried to preach in a graveyard? When he's preaching, say hallelujah. Say thank you, Jesus. Once in a while, wave your hand. Say glory to God. Say amen. They won't allow us to in our church. Poor thing. Poor thing. They got chains on you making you stay. Get out and get in your car. Start the engine. Start driving around. Try to find one where you see a sign that says old-fashioned Holy Ghost, heaven sent, devil chasing sin, killing true blue, red hot blood bought to church that loves Jesus. Go there. Put on the whole armor of God. Thirdly, think right. Philippians 4. Get your thinking right. You're thinking right. The Bible says, meditate on the law of the Lord day and night, speaking to yourself in spiritual hymns and psalms. We're peculiar people. I'll talk to myself all the time. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside green pastures. World thinks we're nuts. We're not. We're doing what the Word says. Praise God. Think right. Some of you here, some of you precious saints, you know more about the flu than doctors do. You know more about arthritis I don't know how many come up to me in prayer lines, a stomach hanging out here. Pray for me, I don't feel good. I don't wonder.
Big, high-powered evangelist. Big headlines. Miracles. Guy weighs 360 pounds, comes up to him. Can you lay hands on me and I lose this weight? Hold your britches.
Won't work.
Won't work? Think right, think right, think right, think right, think right. In case you don't know, read the book. Read the last page. We win. We win. We win. We win. Don't think sickness. Don't think defeat. Don't think darkness. Don't think trouble. Don't think it. Don't think about oil shortage, gasoline shortage, food shortage, communism, socialism, rotism, devilism, and everything else. But whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are holy, whatsoever things are of good report, think upon these things.
Some of you gave a dollar tonight, and you ought to give 10. This is worth more than a dollar. Last of all, resist the devil. We've got some pious souls think you can get so close to Jesus that you'll never be bothered with him. Honey, you're wrong. He's going to dog you. He's going to dog you every foot of the way. But I like what old Uncle Bud Robinson, that great Nazarene preacher of a bygone day, said.
Long as I got strength, he said, I'll kick the devil. When I'm too old to kick him, I'll hit him. When I can't swing, I'll bite him. When I don't have any teeth left, I'll gum him.
Resist him. Resist him with the word, resist him with the blood, resist him with the name. Jesus, resist him, resist him. He's going to come against you. Don't fold up, fall down, and fall over. Stand. That's what the Ephesians chapter 6 says. Stand, stand, stand. Means stand like a man. God doesn't want cowards. Stand. The last thing he told Job, he said, stand up like a man. You've been down in that ash heap long enough. Stand, stand. Praise God, you can have victory in Jesus. In the midst of a cold, demonized, wicked world, you can shine as the brightness of the sun. It's what Gabriel told Daniel in the 12th chapter. Now let me close. I was in Flint, Michigan. Cold, January, 5 weeks we stayed there. Riverside Tabernacle. I know that some of you men know Ivor Frick. He was pastor then. Superintendent now, Michigan District for the AG. Great man. Freezing cold. Building would be packed to the capacity, running over night after night. The man started coming to the meeting. I didn't know him. I didn't know who he was. Never seen him, never saw him, never... I didn't know anything about this till it was all over. He was a contractor in the city, his wife a lovely Christian, and he away from God, mean, drinking, home about to be broken and wrecked, demon spirits about to destroy him. He would come to church and go out, and his wife said, would curse me for everything he could think. But she stayed patient and kept praying. She stayed sweet in her soul and kept praying. One night he walked the floor. She was constantly praying. It was a Friday night in a meeting. Service was over. He went home. About 11, 12 o'clock, they went to bed. And he'd lay in bed a few minutes and get up and pace back and forth. Pace, pace, pace. Mumbling. Pace. She was in a bed praying, "Oh God, our home's at stake. Our children are at stake. Everything we have, his soul is at stake. God, move on him." He was under conviction. Oh God, there's nothing like Holy Ghost conviction. We've got pretty music. We've got beautiful choirs. We've got educated preachers. We've got multi-million dollar buildings. We need Holy Ghost conviction. Holy Ghost conviction. 3 o'clock in the morning, he went downstairs and he cried out to her. She got out of the bed. She was trembling. What would he do? Because he could become violent. He was a big man. She walked to the head of the stairs. He looked up at her and said, "Come down here." She was a little small, petite woman, the very picture of femininity. Lovely young lady. She walked down those steps and met him at the bottom, and he looked at her, and he fought it and fought it and fought it. Big, powerful, 240 pounds, 6 feet, 2 inches tall. He stood there, and through lips that trembled, he said, "I can't fight it anymore. I've got to get saved." Praise God. They fell on their knees at the bottom of those steps. They cried and wept and prayed before God. About daylight, he went to the cabinet, pulled out 3/5 of scotch. Took the top off of it and poured it down a sink. Gurgle, 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 gurgle. "Oh, preacher, don't you know a little drink now and then? You can do it if you drink in moderation. You turkey." That's what you do when you get saved. Poured it down a sink, took his cigarettes out of his pocket, pitched them in a trash can. Got saved. That's the old time religion. That's what you need. That's what you need. God filled him with the Spirit. The last I heard, he was a deacon in that church. Totally, miraculously, wondrously, gloriously changed. I have found his grace. It's all complete. He supplies every need. While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free, yes, free indeed. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Full of glory, full of glory. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. And the half has never yet been told. Would you bow your heads, please?